From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde, in for Ross Reynolds. Law enforcement officers don't yet know whether the state's new limit on marijuana in the blood is resulting in more cases against impaired drivers. They spoke before the House Public Safety Committee down in Olympia. Initiative 502 legalized possession of marijuana. It also includes a limit on marijuana in a driver's bloodstream. King County Prosecutor Recruiter Amy Friedheim says the initiative hasn't affected the county's cases against impaired drivers, but she does worry that impairment from marijuana could become more frequent.
Marijuana is second to alcohol for impaired driving. It was before 502, and I hope that it doesn't bump up ahead of alcohol, but it's always been second to alcohol. And the mixture, I think that that's the greatest concern that we see.
Freedom says alcohol and marijuana combined could become exponentially impairing. So now that pot is legal, to be charged with a DUI, the driver has to get caught with 5 nanograms per milliliter of active THC in the bloodstream. And that sounds simple. It's kind of like 0.08 level for alcohol, right? But it turns out it's a lot more complicated. Joining us with more on that is Dr. Marilyn Hustis. She's chief of chemistry and drug metabolism at the National Institute of Drug Abuse, and she's also one of the nation's leading marijuana researchers. Dr. Hustis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So what exactly does 5 nanograms per milliliter mean when it comes to driving impairment?
Well, just like for alcohol, it's a decision limit, and the variability in impairment for different individuals will be just the same as there's variability for individuals with alcohol. 5 nanograms per mil is actually quite a high level. In Sweden, for instance, their law requires 1 nanogram per mil, and they have published data saying that if a 5 nanogram per mil was used in Sweden, they would miss 90% of their driving while impaired cases. So it's actually quite a high level.
1 nanogram per mil, so that's a completely different standard. How has it worked out in Sweden?
Well, in Sweden, they have quite strict regulations on any kind, whether alcohol or other drugs, and they have reduced their number of accidents and deaths. They have a very serious program, and for instance, when I'm in Sweden, we will drive to a restaurant and drink wine, and we take taxis home.
So how do these standards, like 5 nanograms per milliliter, vary from person to person?
It varies because if an individual is a chronic daily cannabis smoker, they may have developed some tolerance to the effect, but we have just recently published a study in chronic daily cannabis smokers that we brought into our research unit for 30 days. And during this time frame, we imaged their brain to see how their brain was functioning and whether there were differences between chronic daily users and occasional cannabis smokers. And we showed there were changes in the brain that we could actually measure in the specific areas of the brain that we know cannabis affects. So issues like executive decision making, areas of the brain related to motor impairment, there are many different functions that those cannabinoid receptors in the brain are meant to do. And when someone smokes marijuana, they basically hijack that system, and it's not able to function normally. The other very important finding that was just recently published as well in PLOS One is that we showed chronic daily cannabis smokers were impaired when they came onto our unit on tasks that were specifically validated to predict poor driving behavior. The amazing thing was that they were impaired at baseline, and they were impaired 7 days, 14 days, and 21 days after no marijuana. They still had psychomotor impairment. So when an individual uses for a long time and has residual levels of THC in their system, they still have impairment, and we've shown that in the brain, and we've shown that on the psychomotor and the tasks evaluating psychomotor performance.
Dr. Hustis, as you know, recreational marijuana is now legal in Washington State. So what about for the occasional user, not the chronic user? What's the right level of impairment there so that we make sure that people who aren't in any way impaired don't end up in jail?
Well, 5 is high. So people will that are occasional users will clearly be impaired at 5 nanograms per mil. That's probably too high a level, but I understand that, of course, an individual who is impaired at lower concentrations, if the police officer can demonstrate that impairment, just like they have now in your laws, they could still be prosecuted for that. But at 5 nanograms per mil, an occasional user would have used very recently. According to our data, occasional users would have used in the neighborhood of 4 to maybe 7 or 8 hours previously, and certainly impairment can last that long.
Dr. Marilyn Huestis, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
She's the chief of chemistry and drug metabolism at the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Earlier, KUW's Ross Reynolds asked Seattle Police Department about how they're enforcing these new driving while impaired standards here in Seattle. He spoke with Officer John Abraham.
Understand that it is a work in progress with the state, the feds, and the city. But you're not going to be able to drive smoking a joint,
right?
The same as you're not going to be able to drive drinking any alcohol.
Now, theoretically, if I'm driving down the road and I'm smoking a big blunt and you're driving down next to me and you notice this is not a normal manufactured cigarette, can you pull me over?
I can't. That's probable cause for me to make a traffic stop.
But I'm driving safely.
You're driving safely, but it would be like if you were driving down the road and instead of smoking a doobie, you're actually holding a cup of beer.
Wow.
Or you're holding a container or glass that looks like beer.
Now, that's really interesting. So is there the equivalent of an open container
Correct.
Law about smoking marijuana?
Yeah, you're not allowed to smoke marijuana while driving a car, same as you're not allowed to drive a car while drinking a beer.
Okay, so you pull me over, I could get a ticket for that, for smoking while driving,
You could get a DUI or physical control, depending on what driving habit the officer may have seen prior to him pulling you over for smoking the doobie. But here's a couple other little tidbits. You're permitted, over the age of 21, to have 1 ounce of marijuana in your possession. That is 28 grams of marijuana. Well, the average cigarette is 1 gram. So if you've got a baggie sitting on the thing and it looks like 28 doobs, then you're good to go. But if you've got a burning joint in your ashtray and when you open the window, it billows out, that's a whole nother ballgame. And the key word is 21. There is zero tolerance for anyone under the age of 21 where marijuana is concerned.
Traffic Officer John Abraham of the Seattle Police Department, thank you.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
That was Seattle Traffic Officer John Abraham talking to Ross Reynolds about how the new DUI law for marijuana is playing out here in Seattle.